Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
This is New Year's week. The text that I selected is from Luke chapter 1, verse 37, which says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Do you believe that? We have a new year coming, and God can bless us in a mighty way throughout this year. Nothing is impossible with God. After all, He's the Creator. He's the one who thought about us in eternity past. He's the one that redeemed us. He's the one who loves us and cares for us and meets our needs and watches over us. And He's the one that wants to help us each day to do His work and to do His will. What a great Savior. What a great God that we serve. Let's remember this throughout this next year.
Good day, thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go.
The enduring light of Christmas, a light shining in the darkness and transforming lives around the globe. Dear beloved friends and partners in mission, as the bright season of Christmas envelops us, our hearts at Mission Go are filled with awe for the extraordinary ways God has manifested His presence through your faithful prayers and generous support. This most sacrificial time of year reminds us of the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who stepped into darkness to bring us eternal life. This Christmas, we invite you to reflect on how Mission Go's productive and powerful ministries are actively embodying His light, illuminating the darkest corners of our world, and bringing the truth of salvation to countless lives. From the spiritual battles in Uganda to the tender care in Belize, and from the festive celebrations in India to the life-changing broadcasts in Tanzania, the echoes of God's faithfulness resound across continents. Our stories this season beautifully converge on one powerful, compelling theme that resonates deeply with the heart of Christmas, Jesus, the light of the world, is actively overcoming darkness in every form, spiritual, emotional, and physical, and bringing hope, joy, and wholeness to his children. Just as God separated light from darkness at creation, he sent his Son to conquer the darkness of sin and death so that we may have life. Bringing hope and joy to the vulnerable, in India, Nathaniel and his team celebrated the Christmas season by bringing immense joy. The Christmas season began with carol singing and teaching services. Through your generous donations, this ministry had the opportunity to bless 200 children with blankets and 100 women and widows with new dresses. These acts of loving kindness reflect the spirit of Christmas, ensuring that even the most impoverished families experience the warmth of God's love and the opportunity to hear the wonderful news of Jesus. Radiating hope across airwaves and communities, Tanzania truly shines Christ's light into some of the darkest places, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. This Christmas, we remember that Jesus came to be the light of the world, John 8:12, and through your support, radio carries that light. We celebrate joyfully serving our local church, inspiring other families. Beyond spiritual transformation, they also brought dignity and health to a marginalized community of elderly individuals by fumigating their homes, building new pit latrines, and bathing facilities. Creating houses of peace and dignity. With 21 years of experience caring for children, the love of Jesus as a beacon of light in a world that is often harsh for many. A home for children with special needs like Faustino, an 11-year-old Joy who cannot walk or feed himself, is now taking root, with the foundation already started. This will provide much-needed support for vulnerable children, ensuring they live to their full potential, both verbal and nonverbal, and experience the love of Jesus. Similarly, a home for the elderly and destitute is a beacon of light, reflecting Christ's light that overcomes darkness and brings renewed hope to humanity, offering dignity and a sense of belonging to those once abandoned and left to die on the streets. Expanding compassion and discipleship in Bangladesh transforms unused land into a vibrant hub for fish culture, horticulture, fruit planting, and livestock rearing. The products of this eco-farm provide supplementary support for local mission work, including children's ministry and church planting, where local people, including children from their Sunday school, learn how to mobilize their own land, growing spiritually through the truth found in Bible studies, gospel dramas, and camps, with many guardians and villagers receiving Christ and some even taking baptism. Despite life risks in Bangladesh, God's blessings provide protection for this powerful work. At the Children's Home reports that God is transforming 122 kids, 23 young adults, and 62 staff members from the inside out, making them his disciples, as they experience God's love through worship and the gospel. A challenge to partner, join MGO in investing in God's transforming light this Christmas. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior and the impact of his light through these ministries, we are also acutely aware that this vital work, this critical outreach to the lost and the suffering, is only through God's provision. We praise our God. This Christmas season, we are prayerfully seeking to raise $60,000 to sustain and expand these powerful ministries in the coming year. It's not just a donation, it's an investment in transformation, a commitment to bringing God's light to those in darkness. Every gift, no matter the size, makes a tangible difference in the lives of individuals and communities, helping them to experience the true meaning of Christmas. This month, we would like to make available a booklet. One of the passages we read was from the Gospel of Matthew, where the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem following a star. They came to the house of Joseph, fell down and worshiped the Christ child, and presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In our booklet written by Billy Graham, he states that every year people write to tell him how much they dread Christmas. Often their complaint stems from how busy they will be or how much money they will spend. Did the wise men ever feel this way? After all, it took months to make their trip, and they had gone to great expense to provide gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh for the new child. Billy Graham doubts that they did. In fact, he reminds us that their journey reads that the wise men were filled with exceedingly great joy. What makes a difference? They were totally focused on Jesus, the one who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. To get your copy of Billy Graham's booklet, God's Blessings of Christmas, write to us at Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, on postal code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, NYY 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. When wish to bless your life with these messages, this is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman. Printed copies are available upon request.
The setting for our message today is found in the book of Daniel. The subject will be about three Jewish young men who changed the course of a nation. You probably remember that when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded the nation of Judah, he told Ashpenaz to bring some of the brightest young men back to Babylon. They would be trained to serve under the king. Among that group were four young men who were best known by the names given them in Babylon: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to eat the king's daily portion of food, as it was against the dietary laws. Instead, they ate a very simple diet of vegetables and were tested after 10 days and found to be in better health and even more wise than all the others. After 3 years of training, they were appointed to serve the king in various matters. In the second chapter of Daniel, the king had a dream that he was unable to comprehend. He sought out all the magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers to give him the interpretation of the dream. When they asked him to tell them the dream, he told them they had to tell him the dream with the interpretation of it. None could do it, so they would all die. They came for Daniel and his three friends as part of the group of wise men who would die. When they came for them, it is apparent they knew nothing about this decree. Daniel asked the king for time, that he might be able to meet the demands. Immediately he went to his house and asked his three friends to pray with him, that God would give him the dream and the interpretation of it. The dream was revealed to him, and Daniel went before Nebuchadnezzar, gave God all the glory, and was able to do what was asked. The king promoted Daniel to be over all the provinces of Babylon. Daniel also petitioned the king for his three friends to have positions of authority as well. With that background, we're ready to look into the third chapter of Daniel, where we will stay for the rest of our message. At the end of chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar gave honor to the God of Daniel. He called him the God of gods. Now, when we come to chapter 3, some 20 or more years have passed, and there's been a change of heart on the part of Nebuchadnezzar. He has accomplished great things in his country, won many battles, and conquered many lands. The result? His heart was full of pride and a feeling of greatness. That pride led him to feeling that he had all power. Instead of worshiping the myriad of Babylonian idols, the people should all worship him. After all, he was the one who had done so much for his people. So Nebuchadnezzar employed craftsmen to build a golden image of him and set it on a base out on the plain of Dura. It was a breathtaking sight to see that the image of the king going up that reached to a height of 90 feet. When the construction was complete, he set a day for the dedication of this monument constructed in his honor. He gathered a huge crowd that included the leaders of all 127 of the provinces that stretched all the way from Ethiopia to India. There was a momentous crowd gathered for this very special day to honor their king. It was a great day of celebration, greater than anyone had ever seen. Suddenly, a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and whosoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." When the music sounded, the whole multitude bowed down before the image, with the exception of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't very long before some of the Chaldeans came to the king with a message that those three Jewish men had not bowed down and paid regard to the king. "They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was enraged and ordered the three to be brought to him immediately. When they were brought in, he asked if it was true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I've set up. So he, as king, would give them another opportunity to bow down. He continued by saying, "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up." These three men fearlessly took their stand for the Lord in the midst of a very difficult situation. They stood before the king, who was the king of the greatest empire in the world, and defied him, putting their trust in God instead of man. It makes me think as to what each of us would do, facing a similar situation. Would we take our stand for the Lord or give in to the temptation to save our lives? If Nebuchadnezzar was furious before, it was nothing like the rage he had now toward these three Jews. His face turned red with anger, and he became almost violent. To satisfy his rage, he ordered the fiery furnace to be heated 7 times more than normal. He would show them how he felt when defied like this. There was no god that could possibly save them from his fury. They would bow down to him or else. There was no turning back now. Their fate was set, death by fire. As soon as the furnace reached the temperature, Nebuchadnezzar commanded men of valor in his army to cast these three rebels into that blazing inferno. In fact, the flames were so hot that the men chosen to put them into the fire were burned to death by the flames. No one could live in there, thought Nebuchadnezzar. The three men, bound, fell into the furnace. I am certain that the king was pleased that these men were gone. After a little while, when the heat died down some, curiosity got the best of the king. He had to look for himself to see what had happened. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The Son of God could also be translated a son of the gods. In any case, what he saw to him was divine. In all likelihood, he saw the pre-existent Christ there in the furnace with those 3 men he had thrown into it. He ordered them to come out of the furnace, and when they did, the leaders of the nation as well as the king saw something they didn't expect. They saw these men in whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Those leaders had seen a miracle. Their valiant soldiers who threw them into the fire were dead, but the men who had been in the midst of the fire were not affected by it. The anger and fury of Nebuchadnezzar was gone. Instead of it, we read, Nebuchadnezzar spake, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not worship God, but their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Those 3 men who stood alone against the greatest monarch of their day were now rewarded for their stand. He did recognize that their God was greater than any other. By taking their stand for the Lord, he went with them through the trial, and the king made a decree to the entire Babylonian Empire that freedom was given for anyone to worship their God freely. They had changed an entire nation so that any believer in the true God would never again be challenged for their faith. Nebuchadnezzar had gone from rage to rewarding them for trusting in their God. There's several lessons we can learn from this very dynamic chapter in Daniel. The first one is that whenever we take our stand for the Lord, He will be there with us. In the same way, He will go with us through any trial in life. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." My friend, as believers in Christ, we can be assured of that promise through anything we might face. Another conclusion that we should draw from this passage is that when we take our stand for Christ and truly live for Him, we will never know the lives that will be influenced by watching how we live. Those three brave men in Daniel never thought how the heart of a king could be changed through their lives. This incident that occurred about 2,600 years ago certainly has a very prophetic message as well. In the tribulation period which follows the rapture of the church, there will also be a Gentile ruler who will demand the worship of himself as God. This man is known as the Antichrist. At that time, anyone who refuses to worship him will be killed. Now, doesn't that have a familiar ring to it? We know that Revelation 13, or we know that from Revelation 13, that he will oppress Israel more than anyone or any nation has done throughout her history. In fact, the Bible states that 2/3 of all the Jews in the land will die at that time. It is even called in the Bible the time of Jacob's trouble. When this person gains political and religious power and demands to be worshipped as God, most of the world will bow to him just like the Babylonians did with Nebuchadnezzar. Even some of the Jewish people living in Israel at that time will do likewise. However, a small remnant in Israel, just like the three men in Daniel, will not worship the Antichrist. There will be severe punishment and even martyrdom for being faithful to the Lord Jesus. A small group will finally be delivered from death and further persecution at the second coming of Christ. Then, as we look at the entire world, we are very close to seeing anarchy and hatred that prevails. The name of Christ cannot be in the public square unless it is used as a curse word. Many leaders are looking for solutions, but do not seem to have the answers. More and more, some are looking for a one-world government with a leader who hopefully would provide peace and tranquility to a confused, mixed-up world. My friend, this is exactly the setup for the Antichrist to come into this world and be that leader. However, we who know Christ will be taken out of this world by the rapture of the church before the Antichrist comes to power. Before that takes place, we might have to stand like the three men in Daniel 3. Will you stand for the Lord, cost what it may, or will you go along with the crowd?
Remember to order your copy of God's Blessings of Christmas by Billy Graham. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Postal Box 1210, St. Catharines Code, L2R77, or in the U.S., P.O. Box 2010, Buffalo, NY, zip code 14231.